Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
All right, parents, it's back to school time, and I've got a secret for you. There's a drama-free way to make vitamins part of your kids' morning routine. Little Critters Gummy Vitamins. You see, my kids think they're just eating fun, delicious gummy bears, but little do they know, they're getting essential nutrients for their health and development.
Mom, we know they're vitamins.
As I was saying, kids absolutely love, and apparently know, these are vitamins. Lil Critters is the pediatrician-recommended kids' multivitamin gummy brand, and the yummy way to start the school year.
Washington, D.C. Acknowledge me.
Chris Russell on the Team 980.
I'm not trying to be a jerk. it is a Motown Monday turned into a Monday Night Football party in the nation's capital and beyond. Good afternoon, everybody. Back from the weekend. And what do you know? The Commanders didn't lose. That's because they play tonight. Hopefully they won't lose tonight. But let's go, baby. It's finally here. This will be an insanely short week ahead. Starting tonight. An insanely short week. But for now, we're finishing up a really long week. By NFL standards, 8 days is a long time in between games. But it is finally here, 8:15 tonight. As we bring you all the coverage, Burgundy and Gold Game Day right here on the Team 980, always live and free on the Odyssey app. Hope everybody had a good weekend. Hope you made some money. For those of you that gambled and gambled efficiently, I wouldn't say if you're basing it on how I viewed games, I would say you probably maybe lost your shirt. And maybe got away with just that. But I don't really gamble very much, if at all. I just pick games because I have to, right? And I'll just say this. In our show pool picks, which is just straight up winners, Matt's coin stinks and had a bad week. But I pick games like with my head. I'm 4-10.
I feel like it's important, though, because this week was wild. That I have the same record as you with a coin, but Doc and Linnell are leading 7-7. They're 500. This was a weird week.
It was a really weird week around the NFL. By the way, you know what King Linnell told me on the way in? He told me that he just flat out knows how to pick games and I don't.
Oh, are you talking about the same Linnell that decided to cut in on our pre-show meeting because he decided he just had to talk to you?
Yeah.
Thanks, Linnell.
Linnell. By the way, go check out the picture on Twitter that, who was it? Who was sent it to me? Mo, I think, sent it to me. I forget Mo's Twitter handle. But anyway, I'll send it to you. It looks like Linnell, who's sitting with Alex from DC News Now, and it looks like he's just on a throne. It looks like he's King Joffy Jofer from Coming to America. It just, I mean, like, wow. I mean, I guess he just really knows how to, you know. It's at Maurice for DC, Matt, if you want to check it out. He just looks like he's sitting on a throne. Anyway, so I just wanted to open up the show with, man, what a crazy freaking week in the NFL. And that means the Commanders, with the biggest odds or the longest odds or whatever the lingo is, the largest odds against in terms of the spread tonight, should theoretically not only have a chance to cover, which is what we picked on Friday, but also should have a chance to win, right? I mean, the NFL is insane. Through 3 weeks, there's no rhyme, there's no reason, there's no pattern, there's no nothing. Even Kansas City, who went 3-0 last night, I mean, Patrick Mahomes is barely scraping past 200 passing yards. Think about it. I mean, if he didn't have Rashee Rice, like, Patrick Mahomes would have worse numbers than Justin Fields or Malik Willis last week. Think about that. And yet they're 3-0, scraping by the thinnest of margins. That's about the only thing that I guess has been semi-predictable is that, okay, Kansas City, the two-time defending Super Bowl champions, would be good again. But I don't even know how good they are. Travis Kelce looks like completely shot so far through 3 weeks. Looks like he's been hanging out with Tay-Tay a lot. Isaiah Pacheco's out 6 to 8 weeks. The Chiefs lost Legarius Sneed over the offseason. They lost one of their linebackers. Was it Willie Gay? I think it was Willie Gay. I have to double check that. You know, they lost their starting left tackle, Donovan Smith, who they just let go. They've got a rookie from BYU in the second round, Kingsley Suamataya, who's playing. Who else? They lost, they cut Kadarius Toney. They brought in Hollywood Brown, and he immediately gets hurt in the first preseason game of the year, and he's lost for the season because they had a misdiagnosis of the original injury or whatever it was. And then he had to have surgery. He's basically lost for the season. And yet they're 3-0 by a toe in the first game against Baltimore, by a long field goal made by Harrison Butker in the second game, and by a point. And last night, thanks to a terrible non-call, which we presume would have led to, we know it would have led to a first and goal at the one, we presume it would have led to a Atlanta touchdown. It did not, because they blew the call, and then the Falcons screwed up on fourth down, and then they had still another opportunity, and again, they couldn't cash the ticket. Hey, that's a podcast I've heard. They couldn't cash the ticket on another fourth down. And everybody's upset at the Atlanta Falcons because they ran wide. They had the audacity to stretch it and run wide. If it would have worked, everybody would have loved the play call. It's just like when teams need, you know, this was fourth and inches or fourth and one. But a lot of times you'll see teams on a fourth and one, fourth and two, and they'll line their quarterback up in pistol or in gun, and they'll try one of those cross-face play action gives or an RPO or mesh point, you know, give or whatever you all want to call the lingo. But they're at a gun or they're at a pistol with the quarterback instead of on their under center. If it works, it never gets any criticism. But the second it doesn't, why did they line the quarterback up so far? Well, because they're trying to make it look like not the obvious. What do you think? Steve Spagnuolo wasn't thinking, hey, they might run up the middle here. They might try and run up the middle. Oh, wow. I better do something about that. So everybody got upset last night at the Atlanta Falcons for running a stretch wide left. And yet, everybody just kind of forgets that what the obvious or so-called obvious choice would be to run up the middle instead of trying to stretch it left was what the Chiefs were expecting too. And they were jumping as well. And they were blowing up as well. Like, duh, right? I mean, there's some things you can figure out in the NFL. There's a lot of things you can't figure out in the NFL. And that's one of them, is how people are going to react when a team struggles or fails. and they say, well, they should have done this. Well, yeah, they should have done that, but that's exactly what the opponent was expecting them to do and overplaying. They just made a great play. Nick Bolton is awesome. And yes, I'll give credit to our guy Bones, who apparently 4 years ago was screaming about Nick Bolton from Missouri and that he was going to be a great player. And instead, the Commanders took Jamin Davis. And listen, there was some stuff on Bolton. I can't remember exactly what it was. But he's turned out to be a great player in Kansas City. But he's playing with the best offensive coordinator in the game in Steve Spagnuolo. And by the way, Chris Jones, who's arguably, maybe not arguably, the best offensive lineman in the game now that Aaron Donald has retired. I mean, that helps. That counts for something, right? If you have game wreckers up front, and if you have an aggressive scheme and a really smart defensive coordinator, you're going to be better than maybe the book on you 4 years ago when you were coming out in the draft. Because it wasn't just one team, i.e. the Commanders or by at that point the Washington football team, that bypassed that dude. It was 30 other teams that bypassed that dude. Now, if you're telling me Kansas City was really smart, you're right. You're right. Kansas City was really smart. You're right. Kansas City was smart. Guess what? That's how you win back-to-back Super Bowls. Because they're really smart. They're smarter than this organization has been. And oh, by the way, they're smarter than, again, 30 other organizations. And that gets proven just about every week and just about every year. It's not just Patrick Mahomes. It's not just one person. It's not just Andy Reid. It's the whole unit. And that's how they win a game like last night, Kansas City, that I argued on Friday with my pick throughout the game, they shouldn't have won. They weren't the better, like, overall team last night. I didn't think so. They struggled in plenty of ways. But they were the better team when they absolutely needed to be the better team, and they got away with it. They got away with a blown call. So I guess if you say, well, Chris, I can figure out that the NFL is topsy-turvy up and down, but the Chiefs are still the Chief, I guess you're right. I don't expect the Chiefs to go 14-3. Unless you're watching a different version of the Chiefs than I am. They're good. I think they're far from great, but they're good. And they find a way to win. They have that championship medal, that championship DNA. And that's what a lot of teams don't have. It's what the Dallas Cowboys don't have. It's what the Commanders have been striving for 30 years. It's what a lot of teams don't have. I guess it's what the 49ers don't have, because the 49ers, you know, as good as Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch have done in San Francisco, what's the one area that they struggle with consistently in every big spot? Closing out games. And again yesterday, perfect example of that. Now, tonight, if the Commanders have, say, a 7-point lead with a couple of minutes left to go, should you be sitting there going, oh, they're going to close this out, they're going to close this out? No, not against Joe Burrow, T. Higgins, who's going to play, Ja'Marr Chase, and the Bengals, Zach Moss. But I would say this, I have more faith, if you will, in the Commanders coming up with a play in that spot than I do, I don't know if the comparison I was trying to make is fair, because it's not. I have a little more faith in the Commanders making a play in that spot. Say they're up 7 with, again, 2 minutes to go. Even though it's against Joe Burrow, I have a little more faith in them than I probably should, especially with what we've seen defensively. I was thinking about making a comparison to them, to the Falcons or to the 49ers or whatever, but that's not fair because the Falcons made that play or those plays last Monday night and made enough plays, I think, in my opinion, or certainly got really damn close to where, again, a bad call took away an opportunity from them last night. So maybe that's not a fair comparison. And the 49ers, even though they've blown games, Super Bowls, yesterday against the Rams, what have you, the 49ers are still on a way, 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 way different level. So I shouldn't compare Washington to anybody. But tonight, if we get that opportunity and they're up, say, 7, now 3 is different. If they're up 7, 2 minutes to go, 2-minute warning, and Cincinnati has the ball, I have a little bit more faith in Washington being able to hang on and make a play. I don't know why, but I do. I do. And teams that are desperate, which I would certainly say Cincinnati is, I would say Atlanta last night had an urgency. I would say the Rams had an urgency. I would say Cincinnati is desperate. It could work one of two ways. Either you could carve somebody up with a knife, or you could be so tight that you could make a mistake. And that's what you hope for. They're better than you. They have more talent, more experience, more everything than you. But you hope that you can somehow sucker them into a mistake where they think they have something and Joe Burrow, for whatever reason, pulls the string and makes a mistake and somebody jumps it. Or a fumble comes out, like, you know, and instead of a ball being kicked like it was last night, it just happens to wind up bouncing into, I don't know, Bobby Wagner's hands. Something like that. Right? So you had a crazy week 3 in the NFL, a crazy Sunday. Will it translate into a crazy Monday night? That's the kind of question that I wonder if we'll get the answer to coming up around 11 o'clock, 11:15 or so tonight. Because if everything you see on any given Sunday in the NFL is true, you should know that the law of averages tell us that the Commanders should be right in this one till the end. If everything we see week in, week out, and especially yesterday, the Commanders should be right there at the end. Now, will that happen? Don't know. I feel okay about this game. I don't feel great about it. I think the Commanders will go toe-to-toe, punch for punch. I don't think they'll get annihilated. I don't think they'll get blown out. I think they'll have their chances to win this game. Will they? That's where I'm not as confident. What about you? 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Just getting rocking and rolling here on a Motown Monday. On a Monday Night Football Monday. Burgundy and gold game day, baby. As the Commanders try and go to 2-1 against the desperate, urgent, and maybe tight 0-2 Cincinnati Bengals. 8:15 the kick. We'll have pregame coverage for you all afternoon. Hoffman after me. D-Day and Linnell after that. Right up until kickoff, then right about 8 o'clock, we'll join the Bills and the Jaguars because that's, of course, the Monday night appetizer. So you got two games on Monday night, staggered starts, about an hour apiece apart. Here on 980, starting at 8 o'clock, again, you'll get the Jaguars and Bills joined in progress. And then, of course, we have post-game coverage. So, actually, you know what? The Jaguars-Bills is at 8:15 joined in progress. My bad. That's actually when the Commanders game kicks off. So you'll hear the pregame coverage right up until kickoff. Then we'll join the Jaguars and Bills. And then we'll have postgame coverage until about 1 in the morning with the DOC. All right. So that's what you have. That's kind of the stage is set. Now, how can the Commanders win this game? Everybody's going to say, well, run. Yes, they have to run. Yes, they have to run the ball. It's not that simple. It's not just, hey, let's win a pitching contest. That's not what is going to win this game. You are not going to rip off 40-yard runs after a running back squirts out of a hole in which you can't even find him. That just doesn't happen every game and every night and every day. Maybe it can happen again. If you're counting on that, that's a bad thing to count on. So creatively, how can they win this game? What do they need to do? Like, as you sit back and if you're Cliff Kingsbury, let's just start on offense. What is it that they can do to score 24, 27 points in this game to give themselves a chance at winning against a desperate Joe Burrow-led team who gets T. Higgins back, who's at home, who has an urgency that maybe the Commanders don't have? 301-230-0980. Let's start there. 301-230-0980. How do the Commanders win the game on offense? And we'll bounce around all of the NFL, all to come right here on a Motown Monday, Monday Night Football, straight ahead. Stay with us. All right, right back at you on a Motown Monday in the nation's capital and beyond. A couple of days late, they played this at Virginia Tech on Saturday afternoon. And of course, it was very popular with the crowd because it was actually the 21st of September. But it works perfectly. Little Earth, Wind, and Fire, Monday Night Football, Motown Monday, you got the deal. By the way, I'll just say this. I'll do more on this a little bit. Finally getting to go to Lane Stadium, which I've never been to. I've been outside of it once when I covered the New York Yankees in an exhibition game to raise money for the families of the horrible tragedies down there. Going, what was it, 2008, I think it was.
I remember that.
Yeah, it'd been 16 years or whatever since I've been down to Virginia Tech. And, man, just to be a part of Enter Sandman, and I talked to some people that were at the first home game of the year for Marshall, and they were saying that it was not as electric as that. But
were you jumping?
I was not jumping. I was bouncing with my feet on the ground. How about that? But I was trying to take video.
Gotcha.
So that was more important to me, to capture the experience so it doesn't just live in my mind. But to do that after seeing that so many times over so many years of watching Virginia Tech football, and I'm not a Virginia Tech fan per se, just to be a part of that, to experience that was really, really cool. Was really cool. Again, it was a little bit, based on people that have been there before, it was a little bit laid back compared to what they feel they experience. It was still pretty bleeping cool, man. It was still pretty bleeping cool. It was, you know, it was quite the experience. The Hokies lost, of course, but they did make a hell of a comeback. Just like the Rams did yesterday against the 49ers. The difference is the Rams actually won. How about Sean McVay? Unbelievable. All right, so here's how the Commanders can win on offense. Again, everybody thinks that you just run the ball, right? And listen, I'm a big run the ball kind of guy. I am not Grant Paulson. I am not Danny Huhe. I am not those guys when it comes to just throw, even though every quarterback in the league, for the most part, sucks.
I never really heard of Grant Paulson.
Neither have I. But you can't just run the ball. Like, I was talking to my guy Awad, who you hear on Saturday mornings here on 980, 106.7. You can hear down in Richmond on 910 The Fan on the Odyssey app. He's on the show every once in a while. You know, I go on with him, so on and so forth. I was talking to him just before the show, on his show, and I said, look, they need to, on the first or second series, come out and dial one up. They need to show that they are absolutely willing and capable and able of running a deep post route to Terry McLaurin, De'Ami Brown, or maybe even Luke McCaffrey out of the slot. They need to show that they are willing, capable, and able to do that. And they need to do it early on. More than just running the football. More than just the quick horizontal passing game. More than tempo by design, which, by the way, I don't think tempo by design is a great thing tonight unless you're really struggling to get into a rhythm. I think you want to slow this game down, not accelerate it. Unless you're really, 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 really struggling to get into a rhythm, you don't want tempo by design. At least I don't. But they need to show, hey, man, you can't just jam the box. You can't. We're not going to be just a inside zone with an occasional outside look, an occasional eye candy, jet sweep, jet fake, whatever, and throw it behind the line of scrimmage to the wide receivers. That is not going to work week in, week out. Now, it worked last week because you had a lot of eye candy. And because the Giants, once you get past their front defensive line, you know, their secondary was young and inexperienced, and it still is, and they did a hell of a job against Deshaun Watson in Cleveland. We'll get to that later. But you can't do the same game plan you did last week and expect it to just turn out rosy if you just execute in the red zone. Because every opponent, every game, every situation is different. If you come out and you just try and run a lot of inside zone and hope that Brian Robinson is going to pop one for 30 or 40 yards like he did a couple of times last week, you know, I mean, that might happen, but it's not likely to happen. It's much more unlikely to happen. So to me, stretch the field early on. First series, I would. Maybe the second series, take a deep shot, man. Especially if it's, I don't know, the first play of the second series, and maybe you went 3-and-out on your first series. Like, loosen some things up. If you don't want to take a deep shot on your first series because you want to get a first down, and you don't think that's a high percentage play, I understand that. I mean, you can try and run into a wall. Cincinnati is soft in the middle of their defensive line. They've got some big injuries. I understand that philosophy. But, man, they are going to jump everything if you are as predictable as you've been the first 2 weeks of the season, or certainly last week. And when I say predictable, that doesn't mean that you can't be good. That just means it's hard to telegraph exactly what you're going to do and what you're going to be and just do it every week, week in, week out. Why? Because a guy like Luna Anarumo has to be thinking, well, that's what they're going to do on the road in a Monday night spot, third start for Jaden Daniels. He's got to be thinking, well, they're going to try and run the ball, right? He's got to be thinking they're going to try and throw the ball horizontally as opposed to vertically. So what do? You got to bleep with them a little bit. And you got to establish the tempo, if you will, from the start. Even if it doesn't work, put it in their mind. Hey, man, that safety can't creep up. It might cause an extra half step of hesitation. You might not be able to pin your ears back completely if you're the Bengals. That's what you do early on in this game. Whether it works or it doesn't, that's what you do. Who's with me? 301-230-0980. 301-230-0980. Let's do a quick trending alert, and then we'll get to your calls on the other side. Again, at 301-230-0980 on the Team 980. All right, so Monday Night Football, as we mentioned, a dual dip, if you will. We start in Buffalo. We'll join this game at 8:15 in progress, but 7:30 is the actual kickoff from Buffalo for 0-2 Jacksonville, talking about desperate. Trevor Lawrence struggling since the stretch of last year and off to a bad start this year against 2-0 Buffalo and Josh Allen. Meanwhile, of course, the big one around here on ABC And with Joe Buck and Troy Aikman, it is the Washington Commanders at 1-1 against the 0-2 Cincinnati Bengals. Again, we will have Burgundy and Gold game day all throughout the day, leading you right up till kickoff here on the Team 980, and then the DOC back after the post-game show, and right around 11:15 or so for the Bengals and the Commanders. Of course, the Commanders head to Arizona after the game because they take on Kyler Murray and Arizona next Sunday on a short week as the NFL puts the screws once again to them on schedule. How about Antonio Pierce and the Vegas Raiders? Off of their big win last week, they get dump trucked at home by the Red Rifle, Andy Dalton in Carolina, 36-22, and Antonio Pierce was not happy with some of his players who said they were making game and business decisions as the game wore on, and he said the coaching staff now has to make business decisions going forward as well. What that exactly means, we will see. We will find out. But the Carolina Panthers getting their first win of the year. Nationals with the day off, and they need it after a very unsuccessful road trip. They only took one out of seven in New York and Chicago. And that's what's trending. All right, it is a Motown Monday as we approach Monday Night Football, Burgundy and Gold game day right here on the Team 980, the Odyssey app, the team980.com/listen, or 106.7 HD2, whichever is your choice. Matty Ice is on the other side of the glass. We get out to you on the phones at 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Jay Gruden, by the way, will join us tomorrow. Had something going on today. So we will talk to Jay about the Commanders Bengals and his rest, and as well the rest of week three in the NFL. All right, so here's the deal. Again, I should have been more clear with this. Like, I'm not saying that they haven't taken any deep shots and that there's been no effort to do that in the first 2 weeks, because that is wrong. There have been opportunities. There have been deep shot opportunities. Week one, Terry McLaurin racing down the sideline, beat his man by 4 or 5 yards. And Jaden overthrew. And Jaden has missed some opportunities down the field or deeper down the field. I mean, everybody has heard about the Luke McCaffrey opportunities last week. That's true. I've told you about the Noah Brown double move. Now, that wasn't a deep opportunity, but that was a 20-ish yard plus opportunity, somewhere in that range, right at the outer fringe of the red zone. And instead, he took a sack. We know that there have been chances for this team to make plays, and they haven't made enough of them by any means. They have been a quote-unquote dink-and-dunk offense because that is what is easy to see, easy to execute, easy to operate within. It's also been smart for Cliff Kingsbury. Now, there are people, the analytics amigos, that think Cliff Kingsbury is an incompetent boob. I don't know. Watching different games than me. I didn't think Cliff did a great job in week one, but I thought it was a very, very, very difficult ask. And yet there were opportunities in that game that they did not connect on. I thought Cliff did a much, 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 much better job by design, pre-snap, motion, jets, all of that stuff. Look, run, inside, outside, quick game. And developing those opportunities for Noah Brown, for McCaffrey, as we just talked about, the opportunities were there. The quarterback's got to hit them. That's the thing. They will have opportunities just naturally. 4 or 5 opportunities to really, really cash in if Jaden Daniels sees them. And I'm not blaming it all on Jaden. Like, because he's the quarterback, he's the operator. I don't know what their rules are. I don't know if Jaden has the ability at this point, like from what they've taught him and what they've schooled him on, hey, man, you can go to the wide open deep shot or the wide open medium deep shot, even if that's not what your progression is supposed to be. I don't know. I don't know if we've gotten an answer to that. And I would say if we ask that, and maybe somebody has and I forget, I know they answered it kind of in a version of, well, yeah, the quarterback has to make a decision. The quarterback has to make a decision based on coverage, based on his eyes, based on progression, based on a variety of factors. So I think Jaden has some ability to move off of something if he doesn't like it and if he sees something better. The question is, does he see something better in time? And is he so risk averse right now to not turning the ball over, which is a good thing? I mean, you see it all across the NFL, how bad the quarterback play is. And it's not just inefficiency, it's bad decision. I mean, watch Caleb Williams. Even though he put up 350 yards yesterday and a couple of touchdowns, I just made some terrible decisions. Look at Anthony Richardson. Awful. Awful. Look at Deshaun Watson. Awful decisions. Right? So I understand Jaden is a little risk adverse. And that's a good thing, especially on the road against a desperate team. But at some point, this offense is going to need that jolt. And I think that point is tonight. I think that time is tonight, because if you go in thinking, oh, we've got this, we keep them under 20, that's not going to happen in almost every realistic scenario. Not going to happen. All right, so on offense, that's how I think they get it on track. I think, again, obviously you are what you are. You are what your DNA says you are. They are a short, quick game passing attack. They are a run the ball inside zone, primarily outside to the edges. I think there's some soft spots, not only on the interior, but I think if they run stretch to Trey Hendrickson inside, wherever Hendrickson winds up, usually on the right side, I think you can crease them in some areas. I would love to see like Austin Ekeler on a toss pitch outside to the perimeter, get going downhill. I've seen that a bunch in training camp and in the preseason. I've seen not enough of it for my liking so far in the first two regular season games. If they can hit one of those to Hendrickson's side, I think that's going to help them. You can't just run up the middle, run up the middle, run up the middle. That's not going to work. They're going to figure it out. They're going to figure it out. But the deep shot early on, first, second series, puts in their mind, hey, man, we are absolutely willing to go here, and we can go here. You think we're pedestrian, Cameron Taylor-Britt? You think we're a rinky-dink college offense? Well, let's see, big boy. Let's see if your play is as big as your mouth. I would attack him right away. Take a shot. And if he intercepts a deep ball, who cares? It's like a punt anyway. It's going to happen. Take the shot. All right, let's get to you on the phones. 301-230-0980. Let's start with our pal Justin in Richmond. First up, what's up, Justin? How are you, man?
Hey, Chris. I'm doing well. You sound well, so I hope you are well.
I'm okay. Thank you, sir. Appreciate you as always.
Good. All right, well, here are my keys to the game. I don't expect them to win, don't get me wrong. But I think we'll start the most obvious one. Don't beat yourself. Yeah. Watch out for the turnovers and especially the penalties. I was one of those people who almost broke their TV last week watching them run themselves out of the end zone multiple times. But I really think that on offense, they need two pass plays over 30 yards. One of them cannot go to Terry. One of them cannot be one of the running backs breaking it. Because they have to make the defense respect that there's a receiver other than Terry McLaurin on the team, and they have to respect something other than the offensive threat that B. Rob represents. Special teams can do exactly what they did last week. Everything was great. hard to complain.
That's where I disagree. I mean, because remember, they had the couple of big penalties, one that wiped away the Eckler 98-yard touchdown return, and one on the next series, which allowed the Giants to take over at the 47 instead of the 31. You know, I know what you're saying in terms of Austin Seibert, but I'm talking about the whole special teams operation as a whole, which has been sloppy through two games, quite honestly.
Yeah, when I came back, I saw the penalty from that return. I didn't actually see what had happened. I was like, oh no, I just kind of blocked it out of my mind.
It was hard to see on replay. And Dan Quinn was not happy about it either. The hold specifically that wiped out the Eckler kickoff return. Listen, if they can get a special teams touchdown or a defensive touchdown or some sort, that's going to go a long way to them winning this game. And it's why I kind of think they have a chance to stay in this game and have a chance to win it. I don't know if they do, but they have a chance if you can get something out of the norm. Because like you're saying, you know, if you get, all right, just say on offense, right? What kind of like what we were talking about, opening up the game with a deep shot, which is kind of sounds similar. You know, like we know this. Diami can run. Diami can catch short stuff underneath. Diami can flat out run. Run a deep post early in the game off of deep shotgun and maybe even a further drop than that. Just tell Jaden, hey, man, don't take the sack, obviously. Make sure you have... You know, you give yourself the and let it rip. And even if it's a deep shot turnover, at least you put it in their mind.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And I mean, we can expect a lot of deep shots from the Cincinnati Bengals themselves. And that's why I think that defensively, they got to be Belichickian and try and make everybody else in the team beat him. Because we know Jamar Chase does have the talent to take over a game by himself.
Yeah.
So I would like to see a lot of BSJ press coverage with safety hub over the top and make T. Higgins show that he's healthy and is able to beat you.
I agree. I agree.
Tackle well, I think they got on a shot. But I agree. My 2 cents on the path to victory.
I'm going to give you my defensive game plan and keys coming up, but I agree with a lot of that. Thank you, Justin. As always, good to hear from you, pal. 149, Team 980, Motown Monday into a Monday Night Football Monday and a Burgundy and Gold game day here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. Stay with us.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
All right, parents, it's back to school time, and I've got a secret for you. There's a drama-free way to make vitamins part of your kids' morning routine. Lil' Critters Gummy Vitamins. You see, my kids think they're just eating fun, delicious gummy bears, but little do they know, they're getting essential nutrients for their health and development.
Mom, we know they're vitamins.
As I was saying, kids absolutely love, and apparently know, these are vitamins. Lil' Critters is the pediatrician-recommended kids' multivitamin gummy brand and the yummy way to start the school year.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Oh, little Jackson 5 on a Motown Monday. Burgundy and Gold game day right here on the Team 980. Again, Monday Night Football coming up, 8:15, Paycor Stadium in Cincinnati, as the Commanders try and go to 2-1. Listen, there is more than just taking a deep shot early as to how you operate a game plan. Again, I think the base of what you are is a quick game offense. But you can run a lot of quick game without being horizontal or behind the line of scrimmage, right? Everybody's probably seen the statistic of, oh, they throw to their receivers 43% behind the line of scrimmage, and oh my gosh, the NFL average is 11%. Like, it is incumbent upon Cliff Kingsbury and Jaden Daniels to run a more forward north, if you will, bound, short passing game. And what do I mean by that? Is the first play out of Jaden Daniels getting banged up last week, the first play back, he runs a slant to Terry McLaurin. Like, slants are legal. Or you run out of 12 personnel. I've seen it. For God's sakes, and Jaden's missed it. You run little hook or option routes over the middle of the field, say on the seams, and the tight ends just sit and turn around, and they're there. Not everything has to be horizontal or back behind the line of scrimmage. That's how you win this game. The opportunities have been there. They just have to be seen, and they have to be used and utilized. 301-230-0980. Let's get to Lou here before the top of the hour. What up, Lou? How are you?
What's going on, man? What's going on, Chris?
What's going on, brother?
Not much, man. Excited about Monday night.
Yeah.
I can't wait for your boy, Saint Dud. I'm going to call him Saint Dud after tonight, Chris. Or else.
Wait a second. You're going to be mean to Saint Juice? remember tonight when he goes against Jamar Chase. Jamar Chase is a top flight wide receiver. One, two, St. Just isn't healthy, so there should be. Is not going to be pretty, probably, for Benjamin St. Just. I'm not going to call him St. Dud.
If you dress to play, man, don't give me that excuse, Chris. Talking about, oh, he's not healthy. Like I told Matt, we ain't got nothing to lose. Come out there, protect five, and just let it loose, man. It's Monday night, everyone is watching, and just protect five. That's all I care about, to be honest. You know, we playing on the house money. Dallas look like they miserable, like, you know, I didn't expect that, but that's what they are. You know, I'm thankful that Dak's going to stay there for the next 4 years. And looking at Jerry Jones at the end of the game yesterday was something. I mean, it was just beautiful.
There's a lot of drama there. Micah Parsons and I forget who it was going at it a little bit on the sidelines. Yeah. Guys, you know, slamming their helmets. Trayvon Diggs at the end of the game. Now, he was mad he didn't make a play. You know, they got blown off the line of scrimmage. Like, if you watched... I was watching Get Up this morning with Rex Ryan and Teddy Bruschi, and they did a really good job, surprisingly, of showing exactly why Dallas got blown off the line of scrimmage. I mean, there's a lot of problems there. Like, we have problems here, right? You know, you don't like Benjamin St. Juice, whatever. A lot of people are down on Jonathan Allen and De'Ron Payne. A lot of problems tackling, a lot of play, you know, a lot of things that might get exposed again tonight by a high-octane offense. But think about it this way. At least you haven't paid a lot in relative... I mean, you paid a lot for Jonathan Allen and De'Ron Payne. At least you haven't paid a lot for the rest of your defense. Kind of like how Dallas has. And Dallas hasn't fixed the problem. Like, they all thought going away from Dan Quinn's offense, defense, to Mike Zimmer's hard-nosed, physical, you know, throwback type of defense was going to solve everything. It didn't really solve anything so far.
Hey, man, it's good. It's always a beautiful thing when you see Dallas looking all miserable on national TV. So, but like I say, man, I want St. Juice to be a beast, Chris. It's not that I don't like him, but it's just I haven't seen it from him, and I just want to see it I just want to see it.
I mean, you saw it last week. I don't know how you missed it.
I saw that punch. That was like 1 in 4 years, Chris.
He had five pass breakups as well. He was all over the place.
But I'm just saying, look, I want the guy to give us everything he got out there. I don't want to see this one-time thing, you know, just because we got a new team, I mean, new coaching staff now, they're showing them how to punch the ball. And
yeah, you want to be consistent. I get it.
That's what I want to see. I want him to do it like, you know, week after week, he shut people down, and then he could do all that flashing thing he'd be doing on the side.
All right. We'll see. I think this is a tough ask for him, but I got to let you run, Lou. I appreciate you. I'm up against the clock. This is a tough ask, especially because he's not 100% healthy. I don't know when he got hurt last week. I talked to him after the game, and then all of a sudden he shows up on the injury report after a couple of days. I don't know. This is a really tough ask against Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins. Really tough ask. I would say this. Don't go in expecting him to kick anybody's ass tonight. That's not fair. 301-230-09. Any more of your calls? How can they win on defense? Well, that's a more complicated question. We'll try and tackle that next on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Northside's and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
All right, parents, it's back to school time, and I've got a secret for you. There's a drama-free way to make vitamins part of your kids' morning routine. Little Critters Gummy Vitamins. You see, my kids think they're just eating fun, delicious gummy bears, but little do they know, they're getting essential nutrients for their health and development.
Mom, we know they're vitamins.
As I was saying, kids absolutely love, and apparently know, these are vitamins. Little Critters is the pediatrician-recommended kids' multivitamin gummy brand, and the yummy way to start the school year.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
For draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.